Spirits of French Lick is proud to introduce the Lee Sinclair 4-Grain Bottled and Bond Bourbon. This 4-year-aged, double-pot distilled, non-chill-filtered bourbon has creamy, round, and lifting notes with caramel and vanilla, followed by apple, mint, graham cracker, and ginger, as well as cardamom. The finish is slightly French walnut, resolving the sweet, fruity, almost ground cherry and white pepper. Our spirits are available for tasting and purchase inside the French Lick Winery and Distillery. Spirits of French Lick. Respect the grain. Please enjoy responsibly. Spirits of French Lick is proud to introduce the Lee Sinclair 4-Grain Bottled and Bond Bourbon. This 4-year-aged, double-pot distilled, non-chill-filtered bourbon has creamy, round, and lifting notes with caramel and vanilla, followed by apple, mint, graham cracker, and ginger, as well as cardamom. The finish is slightly French walnut, resolving the sweet, fruity, almost ground cherry and white pepper. Our spirits are available for tasting and purchase inside the French Lick Winery and Distillery. Spirits of French Lick. Respect the grain. Please enjoy responsibly.
There we go.
Rock on.
That to work.
Oh, show me the way to the next whiskey bar. Oh, don't ask why. Oh, don't ask why. Show me the way to the next whiskey bar. Oh, don't ask why. Oh, don't ask why. For if we don't find the next whiskey bar, I tell you we must die. I tell you we must die. I tell you, I tell you, I tell you we must die.
All right, welcome back to another podcast of the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. Boom, we are live on
Here
Facebook.
We are.
I'm Tiny, this is Xavier, and we're ready to do another awesome podcast. This podcast tonight, welcome everybody on Facebook Live.
We got great Facebook Live.
I'm going to check you out right here. I've got to turn down my thing. Oh, we got it some halfway decent. I'll be... Greg Schneider's watching.
Hey, Greg.
Hey, Greg. Tonight's episode or podcast. Now, I should have a Facebook thing right in here. Oh, I think I do. I do. I do. Yes, let's see. For Scotchy Bourbon Boys. We are the Scotchy Bourbon Boys, right? We are on all...
Last time I looked.
Watch this. I got this down. I practiced. We're on all major podcast formats. Check us out there. We are also on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok.
You nailed it.
Boom.
All right. It's Scotchy Bourbon Boy first.
Then www.scotchybourbonboys.com. Check us out there. Find out everything Scotchy Bourbon Boys. Get some cool swag. You got these Glencairns all for sale there. But when you're at the www.scotchybourbonboys.com website, check out our Patreon in the top right-hand corner so you can give us support. Every little bit of support, we appreciate. Please check out all the different things. But one of the things that are going to be added real, real soon is we're going to have on Patreon a barrel picking support bottle guarantee system. We are also going to do more barrel picks, and if you're in a certain level, you can actually participate in a barrel pick. We will have barrel picks that we do on Zoom, and then also a few lucky people in the Patreon will be able to come along with us to do the barrel picks. So look forward to that. But coming up real soon, next week, I've got it set up. It's ready. I am going out of town on Friday. I leave Friday to go back to Wisconsin. I'm going to check out the Wisconsin Bourbon Club people, maybe get a time, meet up with a couple of them. But when I get back, I'm driving back on Tuesday. I would say by next Thursday, not this Thursday, coming Thursday, but next Thursday, we will be in our voucher distributing part for the Scotchy Bourbon Boys barrel pick that we did at Knob Creek. The vouchers, so we are going to have a QR code that if you're a Scotchy Bourbon Boy in the Scotchy Bourbon Boys group, contact me on Messenger. I'll put you in the Messenger group. And when that comes available, those are the first vouchers for, I believe right now, the barrel yielded for the Scotchy Bourbon Boys 90 of the vouchers, which then it'll probably be for sale somewhere after we get what we pick, probably 60 set to 70 bottles available to the Scotchy Bourbon Boys group. Once you all have at it and you're in that aspect, we will then put it to first the Ohio groups and then into all the groups. This is a fantastic Knob Creek pick. We all did it.
Awesome.
We went down there. It was, I mean, I can't wait to taste it out of the bottle. I mean, I did the Knob Creek for Kentucky Bourbon Festival last year, and it was so delicious.
Yeah,
so,
this was outstanding. And in full agreement with all of us that picked, we had none other than Sandy No with us, and she also agreed that that was the
right.
The best
and we
barrel.
Had two really good barrels that we ended up having to choose from, and the barrel that we picked was 120.2. So there's no proofing down to get to that 120. It's 120. So it's going into the bottle barrel strength. So I'm excited about that. And then as far as where we're going to have a launch bottle pickup party, hopefully basically with the people from Jim Beam and the OHLQ, we'll have that at the barrel room with Carrie, who has the other half of our barrel. And we will have the pickup for the bottles there. And then also, if it works out, when we go down to Kentucky Bourbon Festival, we'll have a Kentucky pickup for the you can trade your vouchers in. So that's two different places that you'll be able to get one of these bottles or two bottles or whatever you want. The vouchers are going to go on sale not this Thursday, but the next Thursday. So I'm super, super excited about that. Let's see. Did anybody? Okay, we're just got people watching. So we're just doing, feel free to comment. I'll keep checking the comments. But tonight, one of the things we did get, let me see. We're going to go to, I got to get this up to our discussion. We have a new members. Now, of our new members, there they are. See more. We want to welcome Scotty Timmons, Evan Hershowitz, Roy Jeffords, Carlos Bravo, Jeffrey Schwartz, Vivek Mark, Jason No, Eric Konkentun. You read that one. And Andrew Miller. Now, Eric.
You did it as good as I could do it.
Konkentun. Anyways. Eric is one of our newer guys, and he's from Australia. And he's been posting into the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. And to hear him say, with his Australian accent, the Scotchy Bourbon Boys, is freaking awesome.
We'll have to have him do a soundbite for
it. One of our members was like thinking that we had Jack Sparrow on our podcast. But he's definitely about the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. He cracked open this weekend a Wild Turkey 13-year there, and he kind of like collects and is part of bourbon, and it's just kind of a cool thing. We really appreciate what Eric's been bringing to the group. So that's just our new members. Welcome, everybody.
How many members do we have now?
We have, I believe, I want to say 932. Is 932 members. We are going to have a special bottle for our 1,000th member. If you remember, we had a 500th bottle where we had a label made up for the Scotchy Bourbon Boys 500th bottle of an Elijah Craig small batch. So me and Super Nash have been trying to come up with what we can do for that 1,000th member. But we will definitely be doing something for that 1,000th member. We love to have everybody here. And, I mean, so One of the things, let's just get into the next segue, is that Xavier, Mrs. Xavier, Roxy, and myself went down to Kentucky this past weekend.
And to Louisville.
Louisville. And we had a freaking pretty big blast.
We went to the premiere.
The premiere.
Of
the Alan
Bishop Experience.
Yes, Bo Cumberland's documentary that over the last 2.5 years, he has been filming the alchemist, Alan Bishop, who is the distiller at the Spirit of French Lick.
Right.
But he is so much more. I mean, what he does on social media, what Alan does, and the Spirit of French Lick and Alan Bishop is the spot, one of our sponsors, well, a main sponsor of the Scotchy Bourbon Boys, and the first ever sponsor. They were the ones, him and Joe Lee, gave us their support from the start. And
Alan is one that has given of his time to us, telling us all about the art of distilling and how he approaches it, how he solves problems. He's very generous with his time and knowledge. Just a great guy.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
But you still loading them and heating them up with all your single shit you've been dropping. You feel me? Loading them up on. It only takes structure. And you know, just paying attention to the climate of the game.
Yeah.
Know what I mean?
So do your homies got a role in your little, you mean?
Yeah, we all artists over here, man.
Y'all
trying
already?
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to get them on there. We all artists, man. We gonna have this like,
bro, me and my man Kyle, we be like, I don't know, we play with this shit right now.
Shit.
I gonna lie, we play with this shit right now for real.
Don't play with it.
Take that shit serious.
No, we did. Greg asked if we ate at Amore. No, actually, we weren't. Once again, we were in Louisville. So the actual opening, Greg, for the premiere was at the Bourbon's Bistro. And that we were upstairs there, but we were able to eat downstairs before.
Had a great meal, I might say.
Yeah, and some really good bourbon. And then it's funny because Greg's on tonight, and then Alan and Greg together. Really, what would you say? Alan and Greg together were the supporters of the podcast from the start. I mean, we were calling Greg.
They gave us an air of legitimacy.
Yeah. We were calling Greg from the start. I mean, honestly, we kept calling. We would call him at 10:30 at night. We'd be out, and he'd be answering all our questions.
Yeah.
He was, I think at one
this
point...
This guy wants to help us, and we're drunk dialing it.
Yeah, and he was. There was one time I think he was passing kidney stones, and he still answered the phone and just was able to... I mean, it was
I'm sure after talking with us that passing the kidney stones seemed easier.
But then Alan was doing the same thing. And we learned so much about distilling, and we still are learning so much about distilling as we go forward from Alan and Greg. And but we went to the opening for the Alan Bishop Experience, and all of us, Super Nash, he didn't get to make it, but Super Nash, myself, Xavier, were all in the documentary. And one of the things I wanted to say is thank Bo Cumberland, because there's at one point. I had no idea, but my one of my early podcasts that I did and recorded and put up on YouTube made it in there because of the banter that was going on between Joe Lee and Alan during the podcast. It was a pretty cool, amazing kind of thing to be. I was honored. It was such a cool thing. And then we did it with everybody that we had. When we went down in December for the filming and the reenactment, you know, with all we did that with all everybody that was there that night, and we had such a great time. And thank you to Bo Cumberland and Alan Bishop and Jolie Casper Zach.
What a privilege it was to be included in this project, and you know, Alan, from the bottom of our hearts, we were honored to be there. We had a great time. Thank you.
He said, don't joke about kidney stones. I have, he's got a lithotripsy tomorrow to remove 2 8-millimeter stones in my right kidney. I had no
idea. We had no idea, Greg. Good Lord.
He put the laughing, crying. Yeah, that's a double laughing, crying.
Well, hey, you'll be in our thoughts and prayers and good wishes, Greg.
Yes. So, yeah, I had no idea. But get rid of those things, right? They, at least you can laser smash them now. So anyway, there we go. Getting back to when you know, just that Alan and Jolie, they've made us feel like family, and they are.
They really have, yes.
And it's not too many times that 8 men get in a picture with all their shirts off, maybe unless they're, you know, in a bodybuilding competition.
Or they're the Village People, but someone pointed out.
But none of us were in a bodybuilding competition, that's for sure. And someone said, this is what happened to the Village People. If you could get, there are...
That wasn't just any someone. That was our pal Whiskey said that.
Yeah, there are...
I was in tears.
Some pictures out there, if you search on my Facebook, you might be able to see a couple of the pictures of the craziness that went on at the Alan Bishop Experience. But knowing that in the next 2 weeks they're going to have another showing, and then they're going to release it to YouTube, got my fingers crossed that maybe they can get it into something like Netflix. Because honestly, it as far as distilling goes, when you see some of these distilling shows like Neat, and you know, where they're, this has a little special kind of extra kind of thing that goes on, right? I mean, it's not, this is distilling history and distilling at its roots.
Yeah, Alan is immersed in the roots of the Black Forest region of southern Indiana and its rich history of distilling. And he knows the history like he knows the actual art and science of distilling.
Yeah, and then... he's just so friendly amongst the podcasts. I mean, last, 2 nights ago. So he, went home on Sunday, you know, Saturday night, he actually, his wife drove him home. She was the designated driver, and he got up on Sunday, and Sunday night he was doing a podcast drinking coffee and, with Sean Riggins and, the other podcaster's name is eluding me, two other Ohio podcasters, and he did 2 hours of it. I was just like, holy man. But you still, every time you listen to Alan on those podcasts, you know, it just is another just a really cool, you learn something every time. And then if you follow him, he does a distilling series that he talks and answers questions, you know, probably twice a week on people who are asking questions about home distilling and distilling and how things get done. Very educational. And then you can't forget Dusty Rhodes and the Mud Fossil, AMSI winning. And, you know, those are just some unbelievable late night comedy skits that just, there's not too many people on this planet that can do that, you know, get out there in public and just do that. So,
that's and not it. Crack a smile when he does it either.
All right.
Dead serious.
So, what I want to do now is check out, I gotta find it. All right, here we go. So our next, let's see, I'm pretty sure it's right up here. Our next session, I had it on my phone, there it is Brian Gelfo, G-E-L-F-O, and he is, folks, he sent me and the Scotchy Bourbon Boys these two samples. It's called Brothers of the Leaf. One's a rye, one's a bourbon. And he did that straight up straight up without any me approaching him.
So it was unsolicited.
Unsolicited. And he asked me if he was sending out tasting kits and if I wanted one. And I said absolutely to the one, you know, that he wanted to go. And this is Broadleaf whiskey. But the brand here is Brothers of the Leaf. And the reason, I'm going to do the reading and we're going to get into this a little bit. But Broadleaf whiskey is proud to announce the release of their first two expressions. Brothers of the Leaf is a term often used to describe the bond between fellow cigar smokers and their passion for the cigar culture. Brothers of the Leaf straight bourbon whiskey finished in toasted French oak casks and Brothers of the Leaf straight rye whiskey finished in toasted white oak casks have been crafted to pay homage to the cigar enthusiast and the joy of smoking their favorite cigar while sipping on a special whiskey. Brothers of the Leaf whiskeys will be available in fine retailers throughout Kentucky through the Arrowwood Wholesale and online via bourbonoutfitters.com in fall of 22. Both whiskeys have been finished in barrel handcrafted by the skilled coopers at Kelvidge Cooperage in Louisville, Kentucky, and closely monitored by our founder and whiskey authority, Brian Gelfo. To ensure just the right balance of aroma, flavor, and finish, Brian and co-founder J. Paul Tucker hope you enjoy the samples provided and look forward to hearing your feedback. Cheers. They said I could promote this now and give my feedback going forward. So, Brothers of the Leaf straight bourbon whiskey, finished in toasted French oak casks, batch one, is a mash bill of 75 corn, 21 rye, and 4 malted barley with a proof of 115.4 and 57.7 ABV. The Brothers of Leaf straight rye whiskey finished in toasted white oak cask, batch 1, mash bill 95 rye, 5 malted, proof 119.2. So what they did is, I believe, they sourced, because they're not distilling yet, the whiskey, and then once they got it, they sourced multiple barrels and then made the batch and then put it back into with the rye, put it into a 95.5, not the 95.5 rye, put it into a Missouri oak barrel toast, and then with the bourbon they put it into toasted French oak barrels.
Right.
So that's what they did to do that. So let's, I think there should be, I thought I got out 2 glasses, but I guess I only got out 1. But this wonderful Scotchy Bourbon Boy Glencairn, and I will, let's start off with the bourbon.
Okay, do the bourbon first.
And there's not a lot because it was, and.
There's a glass down there.
What? No, watch this.
There's one right.
No. There is one right here.
Technical difficulty averted.
Yeah, there you go. I reached. All right. Now this, now I have to admit, when I did this, I cleared my palate. I really took some time. I went through this sample and got tasting notes for him and everything. So now it's sit a little bit, but it came through. It's not like it's a bottle, you know, it's been poured into these sample bottles. So I really love the nose.
Wow. This has got legs, that's for sure.
Yep. In our Glencairns. Now this time I probably can roll it without spilling it. Right?
We hope.
With your Glencairn, the Crystal Glencairns, courtesy of Martin Duffy, but he helped us get our Scotchy Bourbon Boys logo onto this. And the Glencairn, if you put it on its side and you roll it, that's one of the things you can do. Pick it up by its base so you don't have to heat up the whiskey. Hold it up and you wait. And this really sticks to the side of the glass. It's got some nice... and then when the legs start to form, I mean, it's almost like a uniform paste. I mean, this is, I believe, what did we say, 115? Was it one?
What did you say? I think.
Yeah, that's not going to happen there, but this might happen here. 115.4. No, 115.4 is the. This is 119.2. All right, so that's pretty. And then look at how long it took before it starts to just clip on. Wow, that is really sticky stuff, right?
It is.
Sticks to the side. Color is a caramel color. I mean, it's honestly, it's not dark. It's caramel, yellow caramel. It's not red. You hold it up to the light, you pick up a nice caramel.
Agree.
There's a little, the nose, I'm almost getting like a yeasty barley kind of nose. A little bit of pepper. Oh, that's what I get. I got like cherry, right?
I got you on the cherry and the pepper. I'm not picking up the yeast or barley.
Now what I'm getting is Bob Evans cherry bread. Like, you know what you get?
Yeah, yeah. Around February.
I'm picking that up. I mean, seriously. Okay.
So yeah, definite cherry taste, peppery, and I'm getting a little bit of ethanol.
All right. I want to barrel bash this just for the fun of it.
Ooh. Very peppery.
Very chocolatey. Almost like a, I get it.
So you're pulling out barley on the nose, so you're getting chocolate on the taste. You get barley malt. You're getting that, and I'm not getting that for some reason.
I got like chocolate, like a chocolate, dark chocolate with a little bit of cherry. Cherry is coming in the taste a little.
I'm getting the cherry. I'm getting peppery. I'm getting a little caramel now that I wasn't getting before. But I'm not.
It goes straight dark chocolate on my finish. Like, it's like I ate a chocolate. For 119 proof, it drinks pretty smooth, too. The in your mouth is not spicy. I get a little bit of the pepper of what you're saying, but it's not as spicy. It's not hot. But then the hug is like warm and filling.
It is
like,
warm. Like, and wow. I'm getting a lot of spice on both the taste and
well, you should love
side
that.
Palates. It's
and I'm not getting the spice.
I'm getting it. It's definitely peppery, spicy.
All right. So the Scotchy Bourbon Boys barrel bashing system. Would you like to do that, Xavier?
Sure. Because
you get good at that. We've got our trusty. I got this. Oh, I got. No, I mean, you say it. I got the barrel right here.
Oh, okay. All right. So the nose, I'm getting the cherry.
No. Are you going to have to explain the system?
Oh, okay.
Do I have to hit you with the bong
yeah,
hammer?
First, Jeff Tiny hits me with that. Then I remember what I'm supposed to say. That's
bong.
The Scotchy Bourbon Boys barrel bashing rating system. We basically break it down into four categories: nose, taste, body, and finish. And we can give from 1 to 4 on nose and body, and up to 5 on taste and finish, because we've determined that those are really the two most important of the four. Also, you can give what we call a ba-dum-bump on any one category to max it out. So the ba-dum-bump makes the nose or body become a 5, and it makes the taste or finish become a 6. Only one ba-dum-bump is allowed unless you're Tiny at Christmas time.
Yes, Tiny at Christmas time. It's like it's a rating system and with rules, and you know me, I break them all.
Rules are made to be broken.
Yeah, they're made.
You're like my rules are made to be broken. You're like a dog that I had, Buster. You know, rules are not rules; they're just a challenge.
Right? Exactly. See how many rules I can break in one podcast.
Yeah.
All right. So, okay, you could go on the nose.
Okay, so I'm really allowed to talk about the nose this time. Okay.
Yes.
All right, so the nose. The nose is, I'm picking up mostly, you know, some cherry, maybe almond cherry, kind of like amaretto, and definitely getting spice on the nose. Also getting a fair amount of ethanol. You know, it's a good nose. I wouldn't call it a great nose. I give it a 3.
All right. For everybody just joining us, this is the review of a barrel bash of the Brothers of the Leaf by Broadleaf Whiskey, made by Broadleaf. It is going to be released this fall on Bourbon Outfitters, and so look for it. But we are giving it a review. We are barrel bashing it here on the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. I would have to agree. It's a good nose. I like that cherry bread, but I don't get, like, the, when it comes to the nose, it doesn't quite have as much richness as the taste. And so there's a little bit of, and that little bit of, there is a little bit of ethanol, or I could smell a little bit of pepper. So
yeah,
I'm going to concur and give it a 3 also. When everything falls over from hitting this barrel with this bung hammer, just everybody just know that it was just everything falling over.
Great.
All right. So I'll go with, let's go to taste.
You want to go first this time? Mm-hmm.
Especially with what this is supposed to do. This is a cigar pairing bourbon. And when it comes to being a cigar pairing bourbon, I can't imagine anything better. I mean, the sweetness of the bourbon. So now I'm getting a little bit, I did it again. I got a little bit of honey. Then I get, now at first I was getting dark chocolate. Now it's that little bit of sweetness coming through on that next pour, part of the pour. My palate's opened up, and it's just really a good tasting bourbon. You don't eat without the cigar, but if you taste that with the cigar, I can only imagine that's going to bring out sweetness in your cigars, or the cigar is going to, and everything's going to pair really well. And for what it is, I mean, honestly, I drink that and I'm happy. I mean, I'm not going to give it a butt up because I don't think it's, but it's, to me, the taste is a 5.
Tiny gives it a 5. I like it. It's a good bourbon. The taste is definitely better than what the nose would lead you to believe, although it does hold true to a certain extent that you sense most of the same things. You get a little more, for me, caramel coming in. And as it goes to the side palate, you get maybe a little bit of wood, oak. It's a great... I can see where this would be a great pairing with a cigar. I'll give it a 4.
Okay. Let's go, body. There's a side palette with wood on this one.
Or oak, whatever.
Or oak. You just flew into oak right after that, thinking, okay, side palate, wood. Anyways.
Whatever.
It's, you know? Okay, so it does hit. So this category, you can only give it a 4. And I think that it's...
Had to reassure yourself.
I had to put that thing in my mouth again. Anyways.
Okay.
Honestly, the more I drink it, so I wish I had more of this whiskey, and I will probably want to get a bottle of this. Because when you're just tasting off the sample bottle, which it's, as you can tell, I like this because it's almost
sampled quite.
Yeah, and I'm gonna give the body again. I don't think it's a but up, but I think it's a 4. It goes all the way around. It's top, back of your, and sides. I mean, if I could give it a 3.5, it doesn't hit my cheeks fully enough, but my cheeks actually, like, I can taste the finish in my cheeks right now. So obviously, it doesn't light them up, but it's there. So I'll give it a 4 for a body.
Yeah, I actually think the body is the strongest point of this expression. I give it a 4. I mean, this is definitely the body you want to pair with a cigar.
Finish is exactly, I can't complain about what, like if I just went to bed right now, I would be happy because I got the taste of, it's a long finish, it's a sweet finish. There's a little bit of the malt. I taste a little bit of, a little bit like what I taste like in a triple mash Jack Daniels, and a little bit of what I taste when I taste the expressions of on the Jim Beam 6 barley malt or the Woodford Reserve, you know, 5 stouted mash. I got a little bit of that in there, but then I have the sweetness, a little bit of oak. And then also, there's a little bit of chocolate in there for me. It has, since I started, initially, it was dark chocolate, like the first shocking of my palate. But then now it's a little bit more milk chocolate. But since I've been talking, after I took that sip, there's still a finish. So I'm going to give the finish. I know I can get it a 5. I just think it's probably a little light. It could have been, to get a 5, it would be longer, so I'm going to give it a 4.
Pretty much all those things for me, only I never did pick up the malted taste that you have. To me, it was more spicy, peppery, along with the cherry taste and the oak that comes into it on the side palate. But I will give the finish a 4.
So, this is going to be a half because the only difference between... So, we did 9, 13, 16 for me and 15 out of 18 for you.
So, yeah.
So, we did a 15.5
out of 16.
Out of 18.
Out of 18.
Out of 18. And, folks, a 15.5 out of 18 is some damn good...
Yeah, it's a good expression.
Yeah. All right. So, the rye. Here we go.
Here we go with the rye.
Once again, folks, this is the Brothers of the Leaf. It's not released. It'll be a fall release. Definitely, please, I suggest you look. There's nothing. This was sent to me, and I told Brian that I was going to give him an honest opinion. I really wanted to analyze the whiskey because he asked me to. He wanted me to. And so initially, I didn't know what to expect. You never know what to expect about what's going on. But this is on a good high-level whiskey. I mean, when you're talking 15 out of 18 or 15.5 out of 18, you're right up there with what you need to be doing.
It's they're delicious. Doing everything right.
And I would say that based off of everything about this bourbon, it definitely would pair with cigars.
Oh, 100%.
And for, you know, if we aren't cigar smokers. We dabbled. We haven't smoked a lot lately. I just had one that I was happy with again when we were there. But then, but when it comes to the Brothers of the Leaf, I definitely, after having that cigar last 2 Wednesdays ago or whatever, could see how that would pair with that cigar. And I'll have to somehow get a bottle of it when it gets released. All right. This is Brothers of... What?
Somehow. I wonder how.
So drain it. I like the taste. So everybody knows Tiny is sometimes not a fan of rye.
And everybody knows that Xavier is always a fan of rye.
So we all get real pores with this one because I just tasted that night when I was analyzing. Brothers of the Leaf. It's a broadleaf product, broadleaf whiskey product. Brian Gelfo is contacted us, and we are now. We're not gonna barrel bash this one because it's a rye, and we barrel bashed one.
I thought oddly, it has almost the same color as the bourbon.
Maybe a little redder, just a little, right? Now this maybe. Is less proof. It's 115 opposed to 119, but let's give this baby a whirl.
Okay. At the risk of sounding like you, I'm getting the chocolate or malted right off the bat. Right off the bat.
So one of the cool things when I was in Kentucky, I got to sit down with Hunter Coffee, who is the distiller at Three Boys Farm and Distillery. Okay? And when we were there, we were talking, and he informed me something that I didn't know. Ryes are either dill or celery, kind of that celery aspect, or they're mint and chocolate. And I did not know that. And he said, the balance of a mint, he goes, you can distill it, put it in a barrel, they can be next to each other for 6 years, 7 years, pour them both out, and one can be dill. And one can be the mint chocolate side, but he said they change. So at 7 years, it could be that. And at 7 years, 4 months, it could go to the chocolate. Or at 8 years, it could go from chocolate to...
So the chemistry is still reacting at that point. It's still
reacting. It's always, yeah. I mean, as you age, it's always reacting. Right, and it's one or the other when you get to a point. And he liked the dill rye. I'm not a fan of the dill rye. You know, I straight up spit Angel's Envy rye out. No offense to Angel's Envy. It's me. It's 100% me.
I'm not a fan some of people the love, real green love rye either.
But there's some people who absolutely love it.
Well, so I'm here to tell you, I'm getting the chocolate malt right on the nose.
Big I get time. Malt, yeah, malt chocolate, like milk duds.
I'm getting malted milk balls.
Balls with wood.
What?
You got fired tonight. Nothing bad about that.
No, that's really primo rye.
It's not a rye.
It's Brian, rye whiskey.
I will tell you, you're lying.
No, that's just really good.
Fuck me. It's that good. I would, it's everything that, you know, we have to go out and get Heaven's Door rye. And I got to see, after all, you know, that's our biggest podcast ever.
Where you're comparing it to something nasty.
Yes. And honestly, once again, I explained, it's not Heaven's Door's problem that I can't stand their rye. It's my problem because I don't like rye.
But your tastes have evolved here in the last 6 to 8
yeah,
months.
Except I thought so until we were at Mother Stewart's and we tasted the Angel's Envy rye, and that was back to it. Just I think we're just tasting some fantastic craft ryes consistently.
Yeah, yeah.
People are going more. Okay, so if Hunter's right, right, and so then that a place like Wilderness Trail or a place like Jim Beam. They have control of it because they'll pull it when it tastes like chocolate or mint, or they'll pull it when it tastes like dill. Unlike Willett, I absolutely hate Willett's rye, but you know it has a purpose for me. I made bourbon Bloody Marys, and it probably was the best Bloody Mary I ever tasted in my whole freaking life.
I can see where a more dill rye would make a great Bloody Mary.
Yeah, but this was dill and celery. It was absolutely so whatever. And so would Minglewood. It's a local distillery in Worcester around here in Ohio. And their bourbon has evolved. It's a 5-year out of their barrel, and it's delicious. And then they make a pickle whiskey, which I don't have a problem with. It tastes like freaking pickles. I don't like ryes that have dill and taste like, I don't know why, but that pickle whiskey was full out pickle, not just dill whiskey. It tasted like a real pickle. So that would be something you'd buy to make a pickle flavored whiskey to make a Bloody Mary, where you're actually putting...
Yeah, because I mean, when you're doing vegetables, that would be good. A little bit of Worcestershire sauce and celery stock, and it's a good time.
So, yeah, and when we were coming back home, you guys were headed, and Roxy and I were able to go across the state of Kentucky. It was a fantastic trip. I mean, as far as from how... I couldn't believe it. It was just... I missed no work, okay? Left early Saturday morning, and I was home by 11 Sunday night and went back to work. But I was able to go to the Neely Family Distillery, get an update from their tour guide on their whiskeys, and pick up their summer spice, their rye. I love their wheated bourbon, but this summer spice was a special one. Got to bottle it myself. And then I also picked up... something really special. When it comes to moonshine, I like moonshine, but you drink so much whiskey, I can't really get into it. But this is Hunter Coffee suggested that I pick this up. And when I tasted it, it's Pop Casey's Old Kentucky 31 9 Grain Moonshine. That Royce over there, basically, I mean, you look at this thing and it's got 9 grains in it. It's got so much flavor. When it comes to a moonshine, there's so much going on. It's rare. I mean, their peach moonshine's good. Their cream moonshine, their pumpkin. I had their creamed chocolate tort was fantastic. But this right here, everybody, if you get a chance to get some of Pop Casey's Old Kentucky 31 9 grain, the 9 grains come out in it. So that was kind of cool to stop there. But I also stopped at Three Boys, and at Three Boys, we made the Scotchy Bourbon Boys, Jeff Mueller, we made a reel of me thieving from the barrel, and when we got on here, our first ever, you know, 20, I was happy with 2,800, 3,000 always. But on Facebook,
never broke six figures before.
We're at 100. We were at 118,000. You know, views of this 9 second thieving from the barrel at Three Boys. So it's fantastic. But Hunter signed it for me. A little bit of a sad note to. I'd like to thank Hunter for being there because the night Hunter was part of the Alan Bishop experience, and the night one of his friends was working on his car and the car jack gave out and his wife found him that night, the night of the bourbon, the Alan Bishop experience, he didn't make it.
So sad.
So when we went there, I didn't hear it. My Roxy heard it first when he said it, but I didn't hear it. So I was talking to him like nothing. But then when I found out, I just,
you know,
condolences to his family.
That makes me cringe. And not to make this about me, but when as a small child, I watched my dad. He had a 53 Buick Special. That thing was a tank, had a straight 8 engine in it. Had some car problems. He was at his sister's house, my aunt's house, and her husband and my dad were working on that car, and my dad was underneath of that thing doing something. He was, I'm not sure. I don't know what he was doing. I was probably 4 years old at the time. He got out from underneath the car, and as soon as he got out from underneath of it, the jacks gave way and the thing came down. If he would have stayed under there 5 more seconds, he'd have been killed.
Right, and so that just tells you, folks, be careful when you're out there. And condolences to Hunter and the people that, yeah, you know, his friends.
My goodness, that's so sad.
All right, and then, so my wife just was talking to her mom. And my grandfather-in-law was Joseph Balestrieri. He has some ties to the Balestrieri family, but overall, he basically lived his life as an insurance salesman, and he did things when he was young, like built Milwaukee sidewalks and stuff like that. And, you know, he came over when he was, I believe, 9 years old from Sicily on a boat by himself to come and be with his mother while, anyways, she was talking about, they were talking about one of her, Rachel's friends, there was an issue with a tumor on
the kidney.
And one of the things that causes a tumor on the kidney is a
trauma,
blunt force. Well, she's talking to her mom about this, and her mom said, well, when my father was young, he had to have a tumor removed from his kidney. And my wife was like, hey, that's because of blunt force. Was there anything? And she said, yeah, he was in a car crash where he rolled it 3 times. And she said, what? And she said, yeah, he was in a car crash where he rolled it 3 times. He was I think he was trying to evade. He was trying to get away. Mike's like, get away from what? And she's and he was and oh, she's nothing. Like, oh no. He's like bootlegging for the freaking mob. And my wife's like, what the shit? her whole life, you know, it was he was an awesome. Oh, we're gonna have to get that off. He was an awesome
grandfather. Right?
Yeah, grandfather-in-law, but also he always prided himself as being on the, you know, the right side of the law.
Well, maybe that's what did it for him.
Yeah. Rolling your car over.
Rolling your car and having a cyst on your kidney.
And then he must have rolled it far enough away that he didn't find him. It's not like he spent time for running errands for the mob, you know what I mean? So anyways, she was like, and my mother-in-law said it in passing. My wife's like, what?
Yeah. And then your mother-in-law's like, what?
Yeah, she said.
They go back and forth, what?
Anyways, so that was a great story right there. So, I mean, honestly, this is one of the better, I as far as a rye, I purchased this. Yeah?
This is outstanding. It's a great rye. We've had some good ryes here in the last month or so, and this is one of them.
We've had good ryes.
Well, I'll tell you what. When we had
producing bad whiskey?
I know, but I mean some really tasty.
No, I ryes. Understand. This is on the level of when I tasted Greg Schneider's Chicken Cock 15 year, where he let us sample before he actually bottled it.
Right.
And I remember taking the sip out of the bottle, setting the bottle down, starting to walk away, and then turning my head to look at the bottle because to make sure it was whiskey and there wasn't some sort of dessert cooked by a French chef inside the bottle. I mean, it was just, this is on the level of that, you know, it's pretty insane.
Yeah, they've crushed it with this.
Yeah, so anyways.
It's got a big, bold chocolate taste to it. I mean, and it's a little bit of, you taste a little bit of caramel. Definitely some cinnamon or mint, maybe mint. Just a very pleasant nose, no ethanol on the nose. It's delicious. Nice job.
Yeah, Brian. We love it. If that's what you're putting in your bottles, I'm on board.
Yeah.
So definitely. We look forward to the release of that. It's coming up on Bourbon Outfitters, .com in the fall. So once again, I would say the Scotchy Bourbon Boys, really, you're going to want to pick up Brothers of the Leaf. Especially, absolutely. If, you know, it goes good.
What's the name of the rye expression again?
What's the name of it? It's just called Brothers of the Leaf Straight Bourbon, or Straight. Why does it say, why does the rye say Straight Bourbon Whiskey? Straight Rye Whiskey.
Picked up the wrong thing.
Are you kidding me? Holy crap. Let's flip this around.
You had the order reversed.
Not only that, both times. Does that say rye?
Okay, so you're saying we tasted the rye first.
Oh, yeah. We gave this as a bourbon. Oh, my God. That's my bad.
This is the finished rye whiskey. If that's what we tasted first, it's still a good rye.
Oh, what do you mean? We tasted it as a bourbon. It's just like, and this is a spectacular bourbon.
No kidding.
Give
me another taste of it. I want to make sure you didn't F that up. Good God.
Surprise.
Give me some.
Wait. Surprise. Is that my best Gomer Pie?
Surprise.
No. Surprise. 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 Let's just finish this one off, too. All right. That's why it's so damn chalk. Oh, my God. How the hell? So that's a blind tasting.
That was a blind tasting. So if we were to barrel bash this, it would be an 18. I mean, there's nothing wrong with this at all. It's just fantastic. And we have had rye whiskeys that really do have a chocolate malt taste. We've had a couple that we've tasted in the last 2 months that are like that. But this bourbon is definitely like drinking bourbon, chocolate.
It's caramely on the finish, like caramel all day.
Chocolate all day.
It's like it makes me...
There's a cinnamon or mint there, too. And it's just really good.
What's the name of this? Can you remember?
No, I didn't have one, remember?
We said it last time.
Brick House.
Brick House. A Brick House. And it's... what did he say? Connecticut. Anyways, okay, so we got Eric on from, and he said, how many drinks did you have before?
You would think a lot.
I had nothing, Eric. Nothing.
Eric, that's a very legitimate question. I was going to ask you the same one.
Oh, no, there was. Yep, call it a blind taste.
Yeah, we didn't blind taste. We wily coyote'd ourselves. I mean, that was... crazy.
It's Alan's on too. He says, depends on variety of rye, type of distillation, and yeast as well.
Yep.
Thank you for that, yep. Alan. And then Sean, I enjoy Staley's white rye. And then Eric's just like laughing his ass off at me.
Oh, you should be. He should be.
Alan says, I'm still broken from the experience. Showing. Oh, my God. I was way better at the experience than I was actually at the distilling, the December 4th moonshine.
You were, yeah.
Yeah, I definitely.
But, you know, I didn't really have much speaking in that because I didn't really get interviewed. But I was kind of like a Sasquatch sighting. I was kind of there in the camera, then gone.
But there was a couple times where you were just part of it, like
when we were passing the moonshine.
I mean, that was your first time,
and laughing at you when you couldn't get up. Jeff Tiny had fallen, and he couldn't
it's
get
like,
up.
It's just like I look at it, and it's just straight face down in the leaves. I remember when
you were stuck. You know, you just the roots. You were like an armadillo.
It was a combination of the roots and Alan forcing the moonshine down.
Oh, he forced you to chug the jar.
Did you? It wasn't me holding the jar. It was Alan holding the jar. First, I'm like, "Hey, I'll get that down," and Alan's like, "Then he hits me again." On the third one, you can see. moonshine splashing up. That was pretty good. The killing of Jeff Mueller. No, no, no. The making of Jeff the Killer. Yeah. if anybody has, you know, small children, they know they're all afraid of Jeff the Killer. So it's just kind of like.
Yeah, and the Alan Bishop experience is not for small children to watch either.
Yes, the longest, slowest fall of all time. Hi, you know
it what? Was like when they slow the camera down and people go, "No, and I'm falling."
Oh my God, Alan! Seriously, in my mind, it was just that slow. I admit when the leaves were there, I kind of started the fall with catching my feet on some roots of a tree. And then once I started, there were the alcohol had kicked in and I caught myself, but I couldn't right myself. And then I caught myself and I couldn't right myself. Then I felt like I kept falling and I kept expecting the ground to feel the ground. And then all of a sudden, after about like 45 minutes, the ground hit me.
It was a long time.
But when I see it now, when I actually saw it, it's like I was on my knees, and then I just basically gave up and went face down in the leaves and sat there. And it's just like, now that explains why it took so long to get to the ground.
Yeah.
So, anyways, it was exactly. A lot of fun. I'm happy. That was a fun time. I'm happy we captured that moment. I was... Honestly, I got put in a chair for 15 minutes, talked about how fucked up I was, and then I was good the rest of the night. So I just backed off a little bit. It was definitely a fun moment, and that's what happens when you drink moonshine with whiskey.
Yeah.
I am really good at not, if I don't mix, I can handle it. If I do mix, things go south.
Better have the styrofoam cups handy.
I love styrofoam cups.
No.
Same here. Love you. Love you, Alan. It was in good fun.
Yeah, we love you, Alan. That was a great time. It was a great time in December. It was a great time Saturday night, and we're really looking forward to the barrel pick there. On the Tuesday of the Bourbon Festival week. We can't wait.
Yeah, and then also, Alan, what was it? There was... no, it's gone.
Killed that brain cell, did you?
Yeah, it's definitely... There was something I had to say.
And must not have been that important.
Just gone, right? Yeah. That's but, you know, that's how it is with me. So anyways, all right. So this was pretty good. Pretty good fuck up on my part. I fucked
up. Actually, that was kind of good.
Yeah, it's just kind of like, either way, they're both delicious.
They're both delicious.
And what's really crazy is that while we're drinking...
But the second one... Yeah, you're looking at it like, wait a minute.
While we're drinking a rye, rating it as a bourbon, I mean, that tells you, if you can't tell the difference between a rye and a bourbon, they're doing something right with their rye.
Well, yeah.
I mean, they should just make shit tons of that.
Yeah, they well, I'll tell you what, but that bourbon with that... That chocolatey taste.
And a little bit of caramel there.
A little bit of cinnamon or mint. It's really awesome.
Yeah. So anyways, yeah. So just to finish up, the weekend was fantastic. Everybody got home safe.
You got home safe.
Yeah, we got home safe. But I mean, to bounce from... We went to breakfast with Jolie, Amzy, Tim, and a group of people from the Alan Bishop experience. And then while you guys were driving, we headed off to Three Boys. After meeting Hunter, it was just a fantastic experience there. I mean, the way that the Three Boys works is they don't offer small batches or whatever. They put their barrels out at the distillery. And they've got 5 barrels of bourbon sitting there. And you basically, $25, and you get to taste all 5 barrels, and you get to thief right from the barrel. Once, if you want to buy a bottle. It's right. It's, I mean, it was, I believe, $111 out the door, and you got to basically thief and fill your bottle. Hunter was there. He signed my bottle right there, Hunter Coffee. It was fantastic. I got sat down with him a little bit, talked to him. That was fantastic. And then in the end, walked out with some, I mean, this, there was five, of the five barrels, this was the fourth of the five. By far, it was a special barrel. All the barrels were good. You could have bought a bottle and filled it with the thief and had no qualms about any of them. But this barrel here, this four, was a fantastic barrel. So we filled that up, myself and Roxy. We both shared thieving it and filled it up. I overfilled it and drank from the bottle. If you saw my Facebook post, I was drinking straight from the bottle. It's like thinking all summer long, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Drinking whiskey out the bottle. And that's that. We left there. Then while we're driving, Roxy goes, well, we're going to have to stop at a gas station. I have to go to a restaurant. I'm like, okay. So as we're going between there and headed for Neely, we just happened to be driving on the GPS, took us right by Buffalo Trace. And I'm like, why are we going to go to the bathroom at a gas station when we could stop at the gift shop and go in one of the... So I've come up with this idea. I'm going to start documenting distillery bathrooms and rating them and see who has the best distillery bath. But Buffalo Trace is right up there, considering you walk into the stall and you got your own vanity right there. Separate hand washing station, the whole thing. It gets wide open. I mean, anyways. So I was able to get this awesome, awesome shirt. This is the first time I ever saw it. You got the Buffalo Trace logo on it. It's got the whole safari kind of aspect to
it. With the vintage sleeves.
Yep, and it's got the Velcro on the pockets. Spectacular, so I picked that up. We picked up some ginger ale. We picked up some root beer. We picked up our old-fashioned mix. If anybody ever goes to... If you go to Buffalo Trace, everybody wants... That day they had E.H. Taylor. And honestly, they had E.H. Taylor and... everybody was like, it was sold out when we got there because we got there late. And there's a lot of people who are disappointed. I wasn't disappointed. They had their old fashioned mix. And what they do is they take and from Buffalo Trace, mix up old fashions and then put it in a barrel. They age it for 8 or 9 months and then they bottle it. Then they age it in a whiskey barrel. You know, and it's fantastic stuff. So we were able to pick up a bottle of that. You can get your bourbon cream before you go home tonight. We picked you guys up, your wife, a bottle of bourbon cream. And then we picked up some nice, the shirt and everything. So that was pretty fantastic. Then we headed off to Neely. And we knew that Rebecca and Royce probably weren't going to be there because we got there about 4:30 on Sunday afternoon. But I wanted to get an update on what they were doing. Kind of got the update. Got to taste the new award-winning absinthe. Fantastic shit.
Best absinthe on the planet.
Then I got to see Royce's absinthe still. I mean...
Oh, I'm jealous.
It was like he... pulled it out of France, and it's like from the 1800s. It's fantastic.
That would be cool. Did you take pictures?
Yes, I got pictures and did a post. So if you check that out, I can show you the pictures before you go home. And then the last, but finished up there, bottled my own summer spice. I got to put that and that. I mean,
nice.
You get to bottle, label it. Pretty good. Picked up the witch call. Then... when we finished up, we were leaving, and we're now 2 hours or 1 hour and 51 minutes away from Columbus. We start heading, and we made reservation at the Watershed Distillery the kitchen.
Restaurant, yeah.
And stopped there, got there by 7:30, had dinner, and was home by 11. The dinner was spectacular. If anybody, the Watershed Kitchen has a spectacular, they've had some changes with their chefs and everything, but still, the quality of that Sunday, you know, we had, it started off with a bowl of Brussels sprouts, and then it went to these, the pork mole, which was fantastic. And then finished up with a dessert that was a strawberry dreamsicle, but it was made with coconut milk ice cream. You know what I mean? And then a special, everything was non-dairy. And I, you know, I was like, you could have a drink. So I had an old fashioned, because they do the same thing at Watershed. They make the old fashioned and then shove it into a barrel that's sitting at the bar. And then when you, they'll pump it out right to you on your drink. So there, so I had that for dessert. And my, Roxy had the strawberry dreamsicle dessert, which was, I got to try some, which was absolutely fantastic. Headed home, got home about 11 o'clock and it was just a weekend. I mean, the fact that we fit that, and we didn't even talk about the Evan Williams experience where we picked up another master blend, each of us, some damn good whiskey there. But that was Micah at Evan Williams. They have a bar upstairs now on the third floor, and they sent you right up to the bar, which was pretty damn cool. Oh, and just a shout out.
Yeah, I picked up a bottle of master blend also.
I'm not... Name's not coming to me. I suck at names. I should have looked this up.
Who are we trying to think of?
Oh, you wouldn't. It's not going to come to me. But
describe the place.
We had met a couple when we were in line at Heaven
Oh,
Hill.
Yes.
And it's not coming to me, but I shouldn't try. I'll throw it out there later. But he is a Scotchy Bourbon boy, and his wife was pregnant, and they were camping. And my wife is a midwife, so they were talking and everything, and we got whatever. So then all of a sudden, we pull up to Louisville, get out of the car.
We're 2 blocks from the Evan Williams Experience. We're stopped right by Main and 4th.
We're paying for the parking, you know, at the parking station, and all of a sudden I hear, Tiny! I'm like... What the hell? I've been here 30 seconds and someone's calling. So they're like, Tiny, it's like us. We got to meet their daughter, see them again.
The baby they were carrying when you first met
yes,
them,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes. They're like, do you want to meet her? And it was a great overall experience. I'm sorry that the name's not coming to me. I promise I will find that out. And the next podcast will go from there. So anyways, do you got anything to add there, Xavier?
No, I think you covered it pretty well. I just want to thank everybody for watching and or soon to be downloading or viewing on YouTube. Thanks for being with us. Greg and Eric and Alan, everybody who chimed in there, we appreciate your support and you viewing us. And, you know, Greg, good luck tomorrow.
Yeah.
Good, and have a good one, folks.
Remember, everybody, we're on all major podcast formats, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Check us out there. www.scotchybourbonboys for everything that's Scotchy Bourbon Boys. And remember, good bourbon or rye, and good rye or bourbon equals good times, good friends, and go out there and live your life dangerously.
Night.
Oh, show me the way to the next whiskey bar. Oh, don't ask why. Oh, don't ask why. Show me the way to the next whiskey bar. Oh, don't ask why. Oh, don't ask why. For if we don't find the next whiskey bar. I tell you we must die. I tell you we must die. I tell you, I tell you, I tell you we must die.
Hey, Scotchy Bourbon Boys fans, this is Alan Bishop, Indiana's Alchemist of the Black Forest. So I'm tuning in here today to tell you all about the One Piece at a Time Distilling Institute channel on YouTube. If you're at all interested in the art of distilling, whether it be home distilling or professional distilling, and the intense geekery that goes into that process, then check out the One Piece at a Time Distilling Institute on YouTube. I promise you're going to learn something you didn't know before about the arts.